Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Well, friends, we're making our way closer to the celebration of Easter. And this week, the drama that unfolds, the church gives us in the gospel readings, are taken from the 8th chapter of John's gospel, that famous conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders of Israel. And all the tension between them is building to this very climactic point. And so I want to dial into what the church gives us in the gospels each day to reflect on it, both to see what it was that Jesus was putting his finger on in relating to the religious leaders, but also as he speaks to them, he's speaking to each one of us. One of the fundamental themes that we see throughout it, Jesus declares himself the light of the world. So there's the contrast between light and darkness. There's Jesus speaking of himself as the light of the world. Part of the light that he's shining forth, he wants us to be able to see. And he's using the religious leaders as an example of people who declare themselves to be followers of God, but that they're trapped in darkness. And the darkness is their own sin. And we're in this season of Lent, which, you know, as we've been walking through it, we've been making war, hopefully, on sin in our own lives and not hiding from it, not denying it, not making excuses for it, not scapegoating other people, but to really be able to, Psalm 51 says, Father, against you I have sinned. Each one of us has sinned, right? And Jesus has come to take away sin if we don't acknowledge our sin. And as the religious leaders resist Jesus' confrontation with them, they're resisting his exposure, the exposure of their sin. They're denying, essentially, that they need him. Jesus has come to take away sin, but they don't see their sin, so they're blinded, and Jesus is exposing their blindness. They're trying to trap him at the beginning of the chapter there, the very famous scene where Jesus comes upon the Pharisees, and they're about to stone this adulterous woman, and then they try to trap him and to say, okay, what should we do? This woman's been caught in adultery, and according to Moses' law, woman caught in adultery like this should be stoned. But at the same time, if you stone him, they do something that the Romans didn't want him to do, which is violate the law. They don't have the right to take another person's life. And so they were trying to trick Jesus one way or another to trap him. And of course, Jesus in his brilliance makes the central point that leads into, as John records it, into the drama that unfolds directly between Jesus and the religious leaders. And all the truth is laid out there intensely, and Jesus puts them on the spot and exposes them and essentially says this, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And he puts them right on the spot. They know deep down they're without sin, but they don't want to admit it. And they certainly don't want to listen to Jesus. And their fundamental sin is that they refuse to hear him. Refuse to hear the Father through the Son, through Jesus. They resist the teaching of Jesus. They resist the testimony that the Father is giving to Jesus in confirming Jesus' preaching in the working of signs and wonders and miracles. But here's the reading for today. One of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. It begins with, Jesus spoke to them saying, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you testify on your own behalf, so your testimony cannot be verified. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I do testify on my behalf, my testimony can be verified because I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I came from and where I'm going. You judge by appearance, but I do not judge anyone. And if I judge, my judgment is valid because I'm not alone, but it is I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it is written that the testimony of two men can be verified. I testify on my behalf, and so does the Father who sent me. So they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the treasury in the temple area, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So this was during the Feast of Tabernacles, And part of the feast was the illumination of the candelabra in the temple. It was a significant, the whole symbolism of light was very important. And where Jesus was standing in the treasury, you could see the candelabra where the light was burning. And Jews from around, you know, the nations had come to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, and many of them were gathered in the temple. And so Jesus is speaking to them as he's the light of the world. So that's the first thing we want to look at. He said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's so much here in this passage. Jesus declares himself the very light that has come into the world. And so you can think of other passages in the Gospels where, for example, in Luke's Gospel, Zechariah's canticle, he talks about the dawn from on high that has broken upon us. That is in the birth of Jesus. The dawn from on high, the light from on high has broken upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so Zechariah is putting his finger on, he's declaring the reality that in this world we inhabit a fallen world, a world dominated by sin, and a world system that resists the revelation of God. And so it's a world in darkness, and death itself, which is the consequence of sin, it's a power. Death is a disordered energy. And it's darkness because it ultimately snuffs out our life, but it also darkens the human mind. We can't see. Our minds are trapped in sin. We can't see the reality of who we are and where we come from, the opposite of what Jesus says about himself here. And so Zechariah said, in the tender compassion of our God, the dawn has come. The light has come. The light that reveals the truth about God, about man, about the world, about the devil, about sin. Jesus reveals it all. This is why he's the light of the world. And then he goes on to say, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of life. At the beginning of John's gospel, in the prologue to this whole gospel, that the theme of light and life appears, and I want to read it to you. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So everything was made through the Word. Who's the Word? It's Christ. It's the Lord. It's the eternal Son of God. All was made through him. All was made for him. In verse 4, it said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So right at the beginning, John wants us to understand something, that the light that he's talking about is the unique life that's in Jesus. It's the eternal life. It's the revelation of the divine. It's God. It's God's life united to human flesh. This is why it's light for us. We could not access God's divine life. We're under sin. We're separated from God. And our destiny is eternal separation from God and death itself. And death gets the last word. Darkness gets the last word over the human mind and heart until Jesus comes. Let me read that line again in verse 4. In him was life. What is Christianity, friends? Christianity is new life. Christianity is new life in a person, in Jesus, who possesses eternal life, the indestructible life. And he has a capacity in himself by the command of the Father to give that life to anyone whom he desires, this indestructible and divine life. The life is light for men because no one had ever seen the divine life. And so John will say at the beginning of his letter, I've talked about many times on the program, one of his three letters later on in the New Testament, where he said, what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have touched with our hands, we declare to you that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. And this is the difference maker. This is the heart, the center of Christianity, that God has brought his own life, the divine life, the indestructible life of God, to the earth, to the world that he created. And through his son Jesus, he offers us a share in that life, which is the only escape from ultimate separation from God in eternal death. So Jesus is saying a lot here. I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That passage is very meaningful for me personally. And I think about my own family. how true this is concretely, and how we can bet our whole life on this. And that is that if we follow Jesus, who is the light, we will eventually come out of darkness and we will enter the light of life ourselves. Ultimately, if we die in Jesus, we'll rise with Jesus and we'll share his life. But even in this world, a disciple is someone who has seen this light in Jesus. And the light that shines in the human heart and reveals to us our sin-sick condition. And we can't enter the light, we can't receive the light, we can't escape darkness unless we allow Jesus to take away our sin and the bondage that we have to sin. Growing up in my family, I was raised Catholic in a small town in southern Minnesota, one of seven kids, and I've told my testimony in more detail on the program over the years, but one moment I remember in particular in my family that was a time of change, the beginning of change and transformation for us. We went to church, we were Catholic, but you know, some of us were drifting away from the church. We didn't pray much together as a family. Jesus was present in different ways, but he wasn't the center. We weren't gathered around. Now, he's the center of my mom's life. I can't speak for all of my siblings, but I'll just speak for myself. He wasn't the center of my life. I had not yet come to see the reality of my own sin and come to terms with it. But we also had structures of sin in the family. My dad's alcoholism and his bondage to and his addiction to it, the slavery that happened, and all the disordered stuff that comes from that problem, right, in family. It was present in our lives. And so there was a real dimension of darkness. And there was a kind of discouragement, despair that had happened in the family because Dad had gone through treatment a number of times and he always ended up back in the same place. And the despair was, will he ever be healed and will our lives ever be different? And there was a fair amount of alcoholism in his family line and some of it ended up very badly in some of his family members. And so the question was, would it be light or darkness ultimately that was going to triumph in our family? The drama that Jesus is speaking about here, and he'll speak about with the religious leaders, happens in each one of our lives. And I remember my sister, my oldest sister, speaking to us on a weekend. She came home with her family back to my hometown. There was just a couple of us left in the house and still in high school, hadn't yet graduated. And she came to talk to us about the lordship of Jesus, that the Lord was alive, that there was a spiritual battle and real combat right in our home, and it affected each and every one of us. And that is a darkness, that the enemy, Satan, the powers of the world, our own flesh, and the rest of it was seeking to enslave us and separate us from God. And what we needed to do was to put Jesus at the center of our life and to be totally honest about it and to get real and to communicate the reality of our sin and our need for him and get on our knees and enthrone him in our hearts as the Lord and hold on to him and let him take us out of this darkness into light. And in so many words, that's what she said. And that's exactly what happened. And we began to encounter his life. We saw his light, which was his words and his teaching, his commandments, his promises, his invitation. And we began to gather around that truth and put it at the center of our life. And the Lord led us from darkness to light. There's more here in this passage I want to take up tomorrow, friends. I hope you can join me, but know this, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is with you, and he wants you to walk in the light, and you can if you cling to him. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.